Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming when we
the authentically
die.
Entertaining conversation that matters.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky. Where the stars have always shined.
I'm Mark Legere, and now, your host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
As always, I so look forward to our Monday evening shows. And today is no exception. As a matter of fact, maybe even just a little bit more excited for our guest being here and our musical guest being here. And we'll talk more about why as we move forward. And interestingly enough, I got to ask them both an interesting question. Actually, I take that back. It's a question that I don't think is interesting. It's interesting that I asked them because I liked their answers. But the question that I don't think is interesting, that I hated being asked when I was a child, is, what do you want to be when you grow up? I hated that, and I didn't understand that. And I don't know if I've shared this on this show, certainly not recently, but when I was little, I remember I was the punchline of that question, which led into a big laughter session for everybody that was ever present when my parents or other friends or relatives' parents would line up all the kids, and I would be at the end. And they would ask each kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? And what do you want to be when you grow up? And the answers were a doctor or a baseball player and things of that nature. When it came to me, I was befuddled all along as to why they were answering like this, because to me it was obvious that I wanted to be Filippo. And so that was the answer I would give. They said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I'd say, I want to be Filippo. And they would laugh, and I would cry, because I insisted, I want to be Filippo. And arguably, of all of these kids that answered before me, or maybe even most of the kids that have ever answered that question, I'm the only one that became who I said I wanted to become. And this is one of the reasons why I think the question is silly. Number one, especially in this day and age, the jobs or the careers or the opportunities that will be available to kids when they, quote unquote, grow up are not available to them now. So they won't know what's going to be available to them, A. Secondly, depending on what environment they grew up, they only have a limited view of the world anyway, so they don't know of all the options that are out there even at the moment. And so one begs the question, why are we making kids choose from a limited idea? And then the third thing is it almost is saying, it's not important what you are now. What's important is what you're going to become. And what that sets up for me is a foundation that someday I will be this, or someday I will become this. Well, how about who we are right now? And maybe this is why we have so many people who don't know who they are right now and are not comfortable with where they are right now, maybe because they're always looking for something like, someday I'm going to retire and then I'm going to do this, or someday I'm going to get this degree and then I'm going to do this. And how many people end up doing that? And how many people end up dying when they retire? So, interestingly, I asked this weekend a handful of people, what did you want to be when you grew up? Actually, more specifically, I asked them, because they all have careers, like I talked to a couple of musicians and what have you, and I asked like one musician, I said, when did you know you were a musician? And one of them said, when I was two. Then I asked another one, and he said, I knew when I was four. And they were already playing music, so they were already musicians. And then there's another reason why I think the question is kind of stupid, because some careers end when you're a kid. I mean, some people have career, like, you know, sports and stuff like that, and then the careers end, you know, it's just like they don't go on until they're 55 in some careers. So what do you want to be when you grow up? It's like, you know, wait a minute, I'm doing it now. So today, I asked our guest and our musical guest and our musical guest's backup singer, singer, and our keeper. And these are the answers I got. I got, I never knew I was anything but a singer, or by five years old, I was already singing. This is our guest, Ty Taylor. I was already singing at church. And by six, I was already on Broadway. So what good would it have done to ask Ty, what do you want to be when you grow up? Grow up, I'm already a professional. And in the case of our guest, I asked him, when was physical fitness important to you? And he said, ever since I was a child. And he may elaborate on that when we come back. So I wonder if maybe we could substitute that question with, what interests you right now? Or what are the things that you like? Or what are the things that you see that are of interest to you? Something along that nature. Maybe that'll help expand our thinking instead of contracting it, as I see the question doing in my mind. Feel free to write us and let us know what your thoughts are or what your experiences were when you asked the question. You could write us or write me directly at filippo@lifechangesshow.com. So we'll be back with our guest, Steve Jordan, and our musical guest, Ty Taylor, on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with our guest. Now, our guest is actually so many things. He's done so many things, and he has had so many experiences. But for the meantime, by way of a short introduction, then we'll let him share with us, we'll say that he is a world-renowned fitness trainer and motivational speaker, and I just want to get to it. Welcome, Steve Jordan, to the show.
Thank you so much, Filippo, and thank you, everybody, for listening and tuning in. That was a really insightful monologue that you just had there. I was sitting here thinking about a lot of the questions that you had asked and the proposals that you were saying. It was really, I'm very impressed. That was awesome. Very insightful. Not too many people go in that direction.
Well, thank you. And you know, and I loved what you had to say about it. And vice versa, like what you're doing now so beautifully and so amazing, you had no idea you wanted to do as a child.
That's right. At the age of 14, I was in the fitness for looking good. My friends who were a few years older than me at that time, they were probably 16, 17, were maturing and going through hormonal changes. So exercise was important to them, and I just picked it up, and I was great at it. I had a good natural physique, and I was an athlete, played football and lacrosse, and getting stronger in those sports were also important. So that was the purpose and reason why. And in my answer to you, at the age of 14, I had no idea that I ever wanted to become a health and fitness coach. That was so far removed from anything that I would ever thought of. At that time, I thought I wanted to be a professional football player or a professional athlete. Maybe I worked for my dad who had a company. So that was really all that I ever thought I wanted to be.
Well, interestingly enough, you thought you would be a lacrosse player, and you actually worked really hard to get into a school and prove yourself as a lacrosse player. And then when you got there, you chose not to do it.
That's correct. I was an all-state lacrosse player in the state of New Jersey, which is very highly competitive. And I had scholarships to many schools, but I chose the University of Maryland for many reasons. One was its size and the offerings that it had, the location, and then, of course, lacrosse they were always in the top five lacrosse schools. And I didn't have a scholarship there. However, I did have a letter of intent from the coach to walk on, and he would give me a special look. However, I got involved in more social activities when I arrived there, and I ended up a year later in a life-changing accident that nearly took my life and changed the course and direction of it. And I'm sure we're going to talk more about that, so I'll leave it at that.
You can be sure we're going to talk more about that. And interestingly enough, though, before we get into that, you actually had scholarships to other schools.
That's correct.
But you chose not to take them, as if almost like your life had been was being guided.
Wow, that's I've never thought of it that way, but yes, I believe in almost like serendipity or a force greater than ours that directs our life or helps to control it or moves us in a direction. And that's possible, very possible. I believe that what happened to me, again, and we'll touch on it in a moment, was for a purpose. And I'm grateful in hindsight that it did happen.
Wow. And the fact that you could say that is amazing. So let's talk about it and not talk about it. Because
I know. I'm sure everybody's like, what happened? They're hanging on suspense.
Well, because I listened to a couple of your podcasts, and you do such a great job. It's called what? I Am Healthy and Fit, right?
I Am Healthy and Fit. And it's the mantra that changes your life from the inside out.
Nice.
And I worked with a lot of people, and change has to happen between the ears before it can happen anywhere else. So that's what it's all about.
So what I heard is between the ears, and that might be true too, or it might happen fast, but what you actually said was between the ears.
Yes, that's right.
Mindset.
And mindset is really everything. And going into the mindset, what happened to me, I had a traumatic brain injury, a TBI, from a fall that I encountered.
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay. You joined a frat.
I did. I joined a frat. And I broke down the social barriers. I had to. It was something that I didn't have to. Everybody has a choice. But I was directed by some friends that I had met very early in the first week of school when you're acclimating and getting to meet people.
And this is important, I have to say, because sorry to interrupt you. And I know people are like, let him say what it happened. You thought you were a social misfit. Actually, you were treated as one.
Yes, that's true. Growing up, I've always stood out, and I was always an easy target for others to make fun of. I was bullied. I had a lot of older guys when I was a freshman. The seniors bullied me. They made me walk around, be late for class. They'd shove me in the lockers. And it was because a lot of the girls liked me. I was cute and for whatever else. So, like, as people might look at somebody who has a lot, has good looks or has a nice body or is really athletic and think that their life can be easy, but it wasn't for me. As a freshman, I was telling my wife not too long ago that I was asked to a prom. A junior who asked me to a prom when I was a freshman, I said no because I didn't want to be the only freshman guy at the prom.
Wow.
Amongst other seniors and juniors, because I know I would have gotten bullied and I would have gotten picked on. And so I didn't go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, did you know you were, I mean, did you know that you were being picked on because the girls liked you and you were good looking and all of that? Or did you think you were just...
It's a great question. I don't know. I don't think it really registered in that way.
You just thought there was something wrong with you.
Yeah. I just thought that I was an easy target. And I just thought that this was just part of maturing and part of the process of growing up, you know, and because I had always been sort of an easy target. I always hung out with kids older than me. So, but I didn't really, I know that there's a lot of different type of bullying now, especially through the internet and social media bullying. And you know, this bullying was, I think it was just, I don't know, it's almost like two puppies, you know, fighting with each other. Mm. You know, I fought with other guys, not to the point of where we really got hurt, but wrestled and I got made fun of here and there. But I never really took it to heart. It hurt me, but it also made me step up and made me step up in a way that I wanted to be better. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be more. I wanted to show them. Yeah. So I always had this like, well, I'll show you attitude.
Yeah.
And well, that helped me
them.
Through. Yeah. That helped me through a lot. Thanks.
I don't know how I meant that, but I mean it as a compliment.
Thank you.
And so when we come back, Steve is going to share with us what happened. But the reason I was going with that questioning is because I'm thinking that that might have made you want to join the fraternity so that you could be one of the cool guys instead of one of the beat up guys. But what an interesting story. When we come back, more with Steve Jordan. And a little later on, Ty Taylor will be in the studio live with us and sharing his music from his new CD. So can't wait for that as well. All that on the Life Changes Show when we come back.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Dan Millman, The Green Children, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with our guest, Steve Jordan. And I mentioned before, he's a certified personal trainer, a motivational speaker. What I didn't say, he's a fitness lifestyle expert, and actually even much more than that. And he owns his own fitness business. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But as promised, we're going to get straight into this party. Party.
Party, party, party. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
So here we are at a party, having a good time.
That's right. Post-fraternity days. I was at a party at Johns Hopkins University visiting a friend of mine who was playing football there. And I was on a balcony, and the balcony didn't have a stable railing. Mm. And I was drinking at this party with my friends, and my other friend and I were roughhousing, being macho 19-year-old young men full of testosterone, and we fell off. And I fell to the concrete, landing on my head, splitting my head open with a traumatic brain injury and in a life and death situation. The paramedics were called, and upon scene, they immediately rushed me to the University of Maryland Shock Trauma Center, where I was stabilized, and it was determined that I had to undergo emergency brain surgery to save my life and or save my brain from brain damage or any other further brain damage, because I was unconscious. So I went into surgery. It was about a 6-7 hour brain surgery. When I came out of the surgery, my parents had arrived to the hospital at that time from New Jersey, where I was born and raised, and I went into a coma-induced state for several days where they stabilize you so the brain can heal and swelling can come down. And to make a long story short, it was about a month and a half, 6 weeks in the shock trauma center there, where I underwent a whole bunch of different types of tests, physical, cognitive. They determined I had brain damage, short-term, long-term memory loss, and tip-of-the-tongue syndrome, speech impediments, where I couldn't have a complete sentence with you right now, Filippo. And I probably wouldn't have remembered your name. It was very bad. My head was the size of a basketball. I had over 100 staples and stitches in it, sewing it back together from the fall and from the surgery. And I talked out of the side of my mouth as well. I had Bell's palsy. I had a crushed facial nerve, what they had said, that was going to have a big impact on my life. Some of the other surgeries I was going to happen were another nerve, or not another, but another brain surgery to have a nerve replacement for that facial nerve that was damaged. But miraculously, one of the miracles was that I lived. Yeah. Two, the second miracle was that just within a very time-sensitive period, I ended up having this nerve somehow regenerate through my own will and the will of, I wish I knew exactly what I had said to myself, but I am certain that I used something to motivate me. And it was almost like what you had said when I had gotten beaten up and pushed around and picked on as a kid, like I wanted to be better and more, and I would just show them. Well, when the doctors told me about this brain surgery that I was going to have, it scared the hell out of me because I had never been in a situation that was remotely close to this. Mm. I had broken a couple of bones growing up. I had never seen any trauma to this extent. I had never really even seen the inside of a hospital. So I was traumatized by this. And when the doctors told me, I was mortified. I was scared to death. And that evening, I looked into a mirror staring at my face, at a face I didn't recognize, at a face that once I was the good-looking kid. And like I said, I got picked on. I was the athletic kid. I had scholarships, and I was very outgoing and popular in a lot of ways, but with a lot of insecurities. And now I'm looking at someone I couldn't even recognize with even more insecurities, the insecurity that I may never be normal again. Mm. And that motivated me, and that will to want to be more, to be better, to excel, to show them and to show these doctors at Johns Hopkins and University of Maryland that I was going to get better. I willed myself to move my lip that evening, and I moved it like you would, like if you ever watched Billy Idol or Elvis Presley and they have this little lip snarl. Mm-hmm. Well, I was able to do that, and I did it over and over again until I could control it. And the next day, the doctors were telling my parents and I about the procedure and that it was going to have to happen within this next few days. I was able to show them this movement, and literally the doctors told me I was a miracle. One of them walked out of the room. The other one made me do it over and over again and gave me a list of facial exercises to do. And I did those religiously, and I did them over and over again. I did them for about a year until today. I have almost no facial impairment. I do have a lip, my bottom lip, that doesn't go fully down. So when I bite into a big burger, and yes, listeners, I eat burgers or some big fat juicy sandwich. I'm not totally, you know, I like to have a little bit of fun. I have to push my lip down with my thumb, or otherwise I bite my lip. However, so that was, you know, one of the big trials and tribulations and one of the miracles, but it was a full 3.5 year recovery of so many things. And, you know, emotionally I was broken and distraught, as well as physically, and exercise at that time became my tool, the one that I knew growing up to feel strong, to feel good, to perform better, to now feel good about myself. And in that time period, exercise was about feeling good, not just looking good. And I was inspiring a lot of other people around me. And that's how I found this career as a health and fitness coach. And, you know, I say I fell upon it, no pun intended.
Oh, man.
And like I said earlier in the show, I'm grateful that that accident happened. I've known many people through the years who have known somebody through a couple of degrees of separation who've had similar incidents of falling or falling off a ladder or a car accident hitting their head, and no one has ever come out as far as I've known in the people that I've met as well as I did. And I'm grateful for that. And I know that, you know, the God above, you know, whatever the reason, my guardian angels knew that there was a purpose for my life. And my purpose in life now is to help others see the benefit of health and fitness, not just as a way of looking good, but a way of feeling good and preparing them for life's challenges. Because I don't know anybody who's gone through life without a challenge. And I'd be hard pressed to say that anybody doesn't.
I think it's amazing that you've come to be able to help people. At the same time, I would almost think that you could lose patience with people that, I don't want to do a push-up. And here you are, you were trying to get your lip to work.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do a push-up.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's funny. I told people I have lost more patience as I've gotten older. I used to be a lot more patient. Now I have a stricter rule and a process in which I bring people in to work with now, mm-hmm. so that I get the opportunity to weed out the people who I know just think they want to do it but don't want to do it. And I help them through that. Not everybody is going to be ready to play the games, which I call it. So I'm a coach, and I'm going to coach them in the direction to play all out. But if somebody's not willing to play all out, I'm not willing to be their coach.
Oh, wow.
So, yes.
So if you're that person that's not willing, don't go to stevejordan.com, or you can go.
You can go and do one of my in-home programs on your own and lollygag around, or do it and get the great results that you deserve. And everybody deserves to feel great and to be healthy and fit. That's what I try to coach people into knowing and believing. And that's the mantra of I am healthy and fit. If you could just say that, and you can say it anywhere, and you can do this anywhere, you will begin by just doing that process alone. You will begin to change the way that you think and you feel about your own health and fitness. You're not going to walk out and be flexing your muscles and feeling like you're in super shape, but you will believe that you're going to start to get there. And it takes a process. It starts to build that. When I had that lip movement and the doctor said, you're a miracle, I didn't say, okay, great, now I'm going to go and, you know, just hang out. Mm. I did those exercises religiously, like day in, day out, like 10, 15, 20 times a day. And I believed that I was going to recover. I believed that I would be where I'm at today, fully recovered, living the life that I deserved.
Amazing. Amazing. And what is also amazing is you come out of that experience, and was it right out of college you go and you be a fitness trainer at the White House?
That's correct. I was actually still in college. Oh. It was my last year. I was very fortunate to be at the right place at the right time and meet an individual who was the manager for the WAC, the White House Athletic Center. It was adjacent to the White House in the old executive office, and he was impressed by me, and he asked me for a resume, and then called me in a few weeks later for an interview, and I got a job as the trainer under the Clinton administration, training senators, congressmen, and staff that worked in and around the White House. And wow. Worked very closely with the president. I didn't see Monica Lewinsky. That was always the question.
It wasn't going to be mine.
That was always a question. And I didn't get to meet the president, unfortunately, at the time. But I did meet and work with some very, very well-to-do and very important people in our government.
Yeah. And then afterwards, people that are not in the government, but names that people would know, from Arianna Huffington to, I mean, Seal and I mean, Ricky Lake and Lisa Kudrow. I mean, really?
Yes. I've had a very seasoned career with a lot of celebrities and musicians and athletes, and they are awesome. I've really had a great time working with all of them. But my really, the nuts and bolts and more the people that stick around are a lot of executives, the men and women who are making the deals for them or who are behind the scenes, who are the unsung heroes that don't get the recognition that they might, that the actors do, but are really, really movers and shakers in our world that are creating the opportunities for them.
Well, and you not only work with them, but you actually work with everybody that's serious or everybody that is local. Well, they don't have to be local, actually, right?
No, I've worked with people all over. And like I said, I have
actually,
my website.
All over the world. I mean, you've been some very nice places.
I've been some really cool places.
Yeah.
About 10 years ago, before I opened my private fitness studio, I ended up having some really great experiences traveling the world and seeing some really beautiful places and experiencing awesome things that the world and places have to offer in and around health and fitness as well. And my studio that I own now, it's been 10 years, was inspired by some of my travels, some of the tools that were being used across over the seas, in France to be exact. And I saw an opportunity to be the first one here in the United States to use this tool. It's called the Power Plate. It's a whole body vibration tool that helps to create a result much quicker than doing anything else. And most recently, I have another opportunity with a company called Technogym based out of Italy. And we are in talks and in negotiation, and I'm waiting for a proposal any day now to open another business in Beverly Hills with another amazing company with some really great equipment that not a lot of people have been able to experience yet.
Nice. Interesting.
So we'll want to know. We definitely will know. More to be discussed maybe in another show, but I can't right now, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, Steve Jordan, JORDAN.com is the website. You could learn so much about him there. We're going to learn a little bit more when we come back with our guest, Steve Jordan. And a little later on, soon after that, joining us in the studio will be our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, with her Ask Dorothy segment. And then Ty Taylor will be joining us in the studio with live music here on the Life Changes Show after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with our guest, Steve Jordan. And if you want to know more about his story, he does a really good job, almost too good, describing the details of what happened that fateful night and his process coming out of it and all that. And so he does blogs, which are and audio blogs as well,
podcasts,
right?
Podcasts, correct.
So you could go to they're called I Am Healthy and Fit, and they're at stevejordan.com, right?
stevejordan.com or iTunes. You can get the I Am Healthy and Fit on there as well. Just search in the search bar and you'll find it.
And what's that particular one called?
One is called The Miracle of Health and Fitness Part 1 and Miracle of Health and Fitness Part 2. Yeah. Because I go into such detail, I had to break them up into two different segments.
And there are several other ones in there that you'll enjoy. And what I think is interesting is we have a special guest here with you in the studio, and that you've been on the Dr. Oz show, you've been on the Today show, you've been on NBC, ABC, all these things, Oxygen, and you know, and she's never been with you at any of them. And here on the Life Changes show, who is here?
My wife, Yuki Bean. It's my nickname for her. Yuki's been a big support in my life for the past 4.5 years, and a lot of what I do is for us. You know, we nice. Want to be able to enjoy our lives, and I love doing things with her. She makes my life more rich and fulfilling.
Beautiful. And thank you for not only sharing like you do, but I have a feeling that there's so much more coming, videos and books and all that stuff. So I look forward to all of that, and I'm grateful to Mark Skelton, who introduced us.
Definitely. Thanks,
and
Mark.
So
thanks,
I appreciate
Mark. It.
Indeed. And then you do have things coming up, like something in Tulum, right?
That's right. In Tulum in October, on October 15th to be exact, I have my first retreat that I'm doing on my own, where I'll have 12 people who are going to be there, fully immersed in a health and fitness experience. experience on the beautiful beaches of Tulum, Mexico. And I've got a book coming out as well this fall called I Am Healthy and Fit. That's why the awesome. Podcast has been going on. I just started that a couple months ago. Every Wednesday, I release a new episode. I release a new blog every Monday on my website. If you go there, you can sign up for that. And every Friday, you'll also receive what I call 5 to Thrive Fridays. And it's 5 tips that will keep you healthy and fit through the weekend and beyond.
And you also post those on your Facebook page, right?
That's right. Also, yeah. Okay. My Facebook page, Steve Jordan and Steve Jordan Fitness, I believe that one is called. You can go there. You can follow me on Twitter. It's Steve Jordan Fit. Instagram, Steve Jordan Fitness. So all of those different platforms, you can find me and see what I'm up to and stay in touch and ask questions. I love feedback. That's one of the most important things. I know people today just look and trying to pick out what they want, but engaging is really important because your questions or thoughts or concerns might be somebody else's, and it's probably more likely that it is. So I can answer those, and I'm very good about getting back to people.
Steve, thank you for being here, for sharing like you did. Thank you for living and for the life that you're living. You're a walking motivation.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me here, and I'd love to come back.
What a pleasure. Well, that will be great. Steve Jordan at stevejordan.com. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Well, for our Ask Dorothy segment, we have a question from Samir. Dear Dorothy, my name is Samir, and I am originally from Syria, and now I live in Los Angeles. English is my second language, and many of my American friends often compliment me on how well I speak the language. However, there is one man who is from Iran who is constantly criticizing me and correcting my English in front of other people as well as when we are alone. He tells me over and over again that I shouldn't use the words just and but, and actually yells the words at me after I have spoken them and shakes his head. I no longer feel comfortable when talking to him, and I told him this. He doesn't understand and says that it's what good friends do for one another. I used to confide in him, and now I don't think I can anymore after I simply said to him one night that I was unwinding with the beer after work. He asked me if I was drinking alone, and when I said yes, he said that only sad people drink when they are by themselves. I wasn't sad and told him that I was very happy, and he accused me of lying to myself. I don't have a lot of close friends here in LA, and yet I believe I am losing respect for myself each time I spend time with this friend. Can you please help me with this situation?
My dear Samir, friendship is defined as a relationship of mutual affection between people. Some synonyms for friendship are harmony, accord, understanding, rapport. Since very little of this appears to be a part of your association with this person, you might want to have a heart-to-heart talk with him, explaining how you feel when he talks to you the way he seems to need to do. Good friends respect and hear one another from their hearts and do their best to take action to resolve uncomfortable situations. A good way to nurture a friendship is for each person involved to speak their truth to one another in a loving and supportive way. If after you lovingly tell this person that you need things to be different in the future, and if he still needs to not hear you and or still needs to make you wrong, you might think about whether the way you feel when associating with this man is something you need to continue to do. There are so many beautiful people in the world who would love to be your friend. Everyone who comes into our lives comes with a gift for us. The gift from this man may simply be that you acknowledge that this way of speaking to you does not work, and that you deserve more, and you can begin making more elegant choices for yourself as to who you choose to spend time with.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, simply write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. And we'll be right back right after this with our musical guest, Ty Taylor, here live on the Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with our guest, Steve Jordan, and joining us in the studio is a man who is many things as well. However, known mostly as a singer, songwriter, and romance activist. Can't wait to talk about that. Here is Ty Taylor. Welcome to the show, Ty.
Hi, everybody.
Okay, well, I guess that answers the romance activist part. All he has to do is say hi. Well, before we get into that, actually, you were the one that I was talking about, along with Steve, and actually I mentioned Kenna as well, as far as the experience about when were you a singer? And you said...
I don't know when I was not a singer.
I love that answer. That's the first time I've heard that.
I also like the part where you were saying it was similar for you because as a kid, your parents would put you on the table and have you sing and stuff.
Oh, yeah, before the show.
But I love the fact that for me, I was like, well, that's the opposite of me because my parents couldn't get me off the table.
Yeah.
I think I knew it before they even knew it. Yeah, it's really exciting. It's really exciting. I don't even know. Is this the part where we talk about our connection to the guests that were also on the show?
Oh, you can.
Well, that's because we walked into the room. I love that New Jersey. So
yes.
New Jersey is representing in this studio. I'm surprised that it could even handle both
New
our
Jersey.
Heads.
Is in the room.
Exactly. No, you were talking earlier about your head being like the size of a basketball. I was like, and I was small for people from Jersey because we got big heads. We got a lot of ego. When you said that, I was like, oh, so your head shrunk after the accident. No, Jersey, you don't want too many Jersey people in one room. We know who we are.
You two being from New Jersey, speaking about knowing who you are, I asked a simple question. Oh, so you must have grown around Italians. And what did you say, Ty?
I'm not going to say it. But I will bring up the fact that Kenna, who's also in the room singing with me today, she was born in Jersey.
Are
you serious?
That's my connection. Trenton, New Jersey. On my birth certificate.
Trenton. It's on her birth certificate.
Wow. New Jersey is definitely in the house. And you know what? There are a lot of colors that can come from growing up in New Jersey.
Did you say a lot of colors?
Colors.
Oh. I'm just joking. I know you didn't say that.
You are so funny. And actually, that's interesting that you went there. Funny guy. Speaking of colors, there are many colors in a rainbow, and that's the rainbow song has...
Oh, is this a segue?
Yeah, I'm segueing.
That was so smooth. People are like, why do you even say that? So,
why would you do that?
Right, we are talking about colors and things like that. One of the most exciting parts about this new record and this new connection.
Wait, no, Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
You just want to talk about Somewhere Over the Rainbow
first,
in general?
Okay. Well, no. You said that when you were little, you heard Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was getting to.
Oh, Sorry.
Yeah, and so one of the most exciting parts about this time we're in is that music can be one of these things that's like, it ends up being the best form of therapy for people. Mm. And, you know, it's, you know, you can go to coaches, which are amazing. And your story you were telling earlier, which I loved, was the story about how you can believe in something or you can really believe in it. Mm. And I think one of the things my mother told me as a child was, you know, that you have to hope and you have to dream. And that's what gets you out of hard situations. And that's where my connection to the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow came from. Mm. And then from that, when I started writing songs for this project of mine, this record, the Nouveau Mid-Century Romance Songbook, the first thing I wanted to do was hit on the optimism of what started me creating. And that was the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow. So I wanted to write a song that could lend itself to the time now where we need more rainbows and more hope-filled ideas, especially in the minds of kids and people that think that this is the way the world has to be. Music can be one of the ways that can help people climb out of the holes that they assumed that they might not be able to get out of otherwise. So I wrote this song called Skies No More Be Gray.
Mm.
And is that...
Is this a segue?
Yeah, but only the second part of the segue, set up by you, cut off by you, reset up by you. But it's your show, so I'll allow it.
No, I don't. You know, actually, I have so many questions for you. I know we're like going to go overtime, maybe tomorrow, but at least for now, this is probably a good place to just go. But before we do, want to introduce the other people that are in the room.
This is Kenna Ramsey that's texting.
Hey, I'm not texting.
And then that's
it's oh, she on goes you. Over.
And that's Peter Smith on keys. Peter Smith is one of the arrangers on the album with me, and one of my dear friends, along with Rob Perkins. We put this whole thing together. This song is called "Skies No More Be Gray." Anyone that's listening to this, please allow yourself to be open to the fact that lyrics and music and chords. There's something about the vibration of music that can definitely get you out of the hole you're in. This song, "Skies No More Be Gray."
Well. Here is Ty Taylor performing from Nouveau Mid-Century Romance Songbook, his song, Skies No More Be Gray.
Clowning, but clearly I am drowning. If I hold on until tomorrow, joy will conquer the sorrow, and my tears that I cry will dry away. If I recall upon a story when my life bathed in glory, there'd be less despair wearing my days. I have walked this lane before with troubled stones in way, where the tunnel's light is unsure. Yet I've climbed out of dismay, so upon the stars I pray. I must release all of this heavy darkness. Lord knows I'm ready to banish these blues and unhand the gray. I'm ready to banish these blues and unhand the gray. I have walked this lane before with troubled stones in a way. Upon those days I close the door. Skies no more be gray.
Ty Taylor here live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo. You know, the CD is called Nouveau Mid-Century Romance Songbook. And Nouveau is spelled N-O-U-V-E-A-U. And that's important because that's actually the website as well. So Nouveau Mid-Century Romance Songbook.com.
It's that long and that obnoxious. I mean, that's what she said. But then it's that long and that's obnoxious because I wanted you to just have to hit a bookmark and save it and it would come back every time.
Thanks to Barry Schoenfeld. Shout out to him and a big thank you. I got to know you and your work, and you have a new friend, a new fan, maybe a new friend, but hopefully, but a new fan for sure. I can't believe I missed your live show recently. That would have been so fun to watch. But I did see a clip, and in it, you did something that our guest Steve just did, actually, where he talked about the unsung heroes behind the celebrities, mm-hmm. and you in your show talk about the writers of the songs.
Yes, it's exactly. Well, a friend of mine brought it up, this woman named Renee Elise Goldsberry. She stars in the show Hamlet. Hamilton. Hamilton. And I was talking with her, and she was like, it was after we did our first show at the Wallace Theater here, and she was saying, do you understand that a lot of the writers of the songs that I love, like Cole Porter and Gershwin and Harold Arlen and, you know, Jerome Kern, a lot of the people that wrote a lot of the standards from back then, a lot of people don't understand that they are the heroes. It's not only the people's vocal performances, but instead it is actually the foundation of these songs that have made them last for so long. And so, as we know in life, there are many, many unsung here is like, you know, does anyone know who the coach is? Who, you know, the Williams sisters, who's their coach? You know, like these kind of things. Like
right,
a lot of people,
right.
They tend to become fans of what the product is and sometimes forget to check the steps along the way. And so it's really exciting for me to actually be the writer and the performer of these songs because it's given me a real sense of power because it's nice to in one person be the unsung hero and the hero itself. It gives you a compassion for both sides.
Well, in watching you perform on video and hopefully soon live, you bring back so many memories of my growing up years watching like Nat King Cole or any of the Dean Martin or Frank Sinatra. I mean, like you have all of that and yet it's fresh. You're not imitating anybody. You are yourself. But just now you did this. That was like so Nat King Cole there.
But it's weird to me. I don't think about it as Nat King Cole. I think about it as a double bass, an upright bass, which is probably what he thinks about it as. Rather than another singer, I think about those things as instruments. That's what the upright bass does.
Good point. And you play, actually. You play trombone, is it?
I play everything.
Oh, excuse me.
But I think what's really nice is New Jersey. I mean, we do it. It comes with the bag of donuts.
That's it.
And we you said it.
He did.
He said it. Okay. And you know, we had a hard time getting his head in through the door, but we did it. And it's here. All in the New Jersey head made it in.
Yeah, we made it in. Well, I think it's almost like a joking around kind of energy that you use. It's almost like you're using a like most people that are really arrogant are never going to say they're arrogant, or most people that are really cocky don't admit to it. So for people from New Jersey, it's just a way that we joke around about being able to empower ourselves. These kind of, you know,
and that's
as a
the
kid,
colors.
Yeah,
I was
it's,
talking
a, it's
about.
The colors, they're but so... it makes you walk around excited as a kid. Mm. The fact that you can rag each other and know that it's not bullying.
Yeah.
It's a powerful thing. So it's the same kind of approach that as adults, you know, we joke around about, you know, about not being humble. But we are. New Jersey is a humble.
There's a lot of love there.
So much love. I mean, we have to be kind of humble. We're right, you know, we're next to New York City, and if you're right next to New York City, you got to kind of bow down to New York City. So you do feel like you're kind of somewhat in second place. So it kind of makes you fight harder.
Well, you know, and I mean, maybe that's why so many stars come from there. So this next song that you're going to sing is about being humble, right?
It is, because it's called Wish for a Kiss, and it talks about that time, which I think is the one of the most exciting parts about being in a relationship is right before the relationship begins, because
right before the relationship.
Yeah, well, because there's the whole the idea of what it can be and where is this going to go to, and is she going to like me? Is he going to like me? You know, how far will we go? And this song, Wish for a Kiss, is about, you know, being by one of those fountains. But what I want to say real quick, and I hope this doesn't make me go over time, is you were talking about how I remind you of a certain time in life. The reason why I really wanted to do this music and why we want to do this project is because we didn't want people to have to watch movies like La La Land or to have to watch an old Judy Garland clip in order to feel the kind of romance and hopefulness that came from entertainment. It shouldn't have to be something that people escape into. We should offer that to this time, because this time is thirsting and hungering for more romance and for more wishful thinking. So this song is Wish for a Kiss.
Wow, you know, I and you almost made me late for our own show, because I had just found the album and I wanted to hear it before I jumped in the shower. And I just sat there and I listened to it. I'm like, I at least got to shave. So I put it up loud so I could shave to it. I mean, I've enjoyed this so much and I didn't get to finish it. So I can't wait. The album is Nouveau Mid-Century Romance Songbook. And oh, great, it's the website too. And it's perfect. Nouveau Mid-Century Romance Songbook.com.
Yes.
Well, here he is performing live here on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo. He's going to be accompanied by Peter Smith on keyboard and Kenna Ramsey on vocals. Here is Ty Taylor performing from Nouveau Mid-Century Romance Songbook, Wished for a Kiss.
Kenna Ramsey.
Ooh. Ooh. Near a well's where I stood, knowing well, knowing good, not a dream for a coin will come true. But if by chance I've not a clue, and they can and they do, underhanded I threw, and I wish for a kiss from you. I wish for a kiss from you. I reflect as I look down into the fountain in my hope. Floats on you wanting me. I reject superstition, but I'm not missing this chance. And to dance cheek to cheek with you, I would do anything for a chance. But for more than romance, I want to be your man. Narrow walls where I stood, knowing well, knowing good, not a dream for a coin will come true. But if by chance I've not a clue, and they can and they do, underhanded I threw, and I wish for a kiss from you. Hey. I wish for a kiss from you. Lord knows why, for the first time in my life I'm feeling shy. Uncharted territory, me oh my. A cold sweat is what I get when we are near. It's as clear as can be, or the sun that finds me on a cloud-ridden deck. But for more than your sunlight, I'm gonna have to make a wish. So I wish for a kiss. Oh, near a world where I stood, knowing well, knowing good, not a dream for a coin will come true. But if I chance, I'm not a clue, and they can and they do, underhanded I threw, and I wish for a kiss from you. I wish for a kiss from you. I wish for a kiss from you. I don't know how I got it, but I got it. And I don't know what I'd do without it, no. From New Jersey do. A bag of donuts is enough sweets for you. I have to dream about a kiss, K-I-S-S, this kiss from you. Kiss from you. I wish for a kiss from you. I wish for a kiss.
Yeah.
Well, if the smiles in the studio, every single person here, are any indication, this CD is a hit. More power to you. Ty Taylor, go to Nouveau Mid-Century Romance Songbook.com. Nouveau is how you spell Nouveau. Nouveau Mid-Century RomanceSongbook.com. Ty Taylor, what a pleasure. I look forward to so much more from you.
Yes,
of course, you know, we didn't even talk about you. You started on Broadway at 6, and then you've done all these things, all these shows. You've done so many things, but you know what? Well, we're running out of time, but we'll have to just do something
we'll
again.
Have to do it again. We'll have to do it again.
Amazing.
And you do realize there's a drummer, the famous drummer with your name, right?
I do. Yeah, I've fought him so many times for the internet space.
That's so funny.
I've gotten private emails from people that have been in and around him, and that I had to respond back to.
I'm sure. Well, even just because of the fact that I was here today and you were here today, a lot of people are like, oh my God, a big music show.
Oh yeah, Ty Taylor and
it's
the
a big show.
It's a big
not
show.
Music
period.
Show, it's just a big show.
It was
a big show.
And
with
two guys with big heads from Jersey.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't want it to end, but this is our show. A big, big thank you, of course, to Peter Smith on keys and to Kenna Ramsey on vocals. Ty Taylor, what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having all of us.
Good luck with it. I know you're working on some things that we can't talk about just yet, and that's the exciting thing is we look forward to all of that happening and more. So you'll let us know.
Yes.
All right. And you as well, Steve Jordan, please keep in touch. And we thank you for what you're doing. And so that is our show.
Yes, it's a wrap.
On behalf of all of us, let's thank Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so good. On behalf of Executive Dorothy Donahue and our producer, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.